So, welcome aboard. We are going to do something pretty poignant. We're going to take Bruce Powell's attempt to explain Donald Trump and improve on it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Did anybody see my post on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so where is... We bring up his article. We're going to go through his article line by line. And... make it bigger. I will put the link on the green board so you can bring it up too. If you have my email or the Facebook page where I posted my commentary and then said at the end I'm going to go through it line by line.
Yes.
So you see, I just posted there. That'll bring you to the McLuhan Galaxy blog, run on behalf of the McLuhan family by Alex Kuskus. So, who is was the last PhD student of McLuhan's in the late 70s. I think he was the last. And he... or he never got to do a PhD because McLuhan discouraged him, told him, look, if you do anything quoting me, you won't be recognized in your PhD. You'll be you'll suffer banishment because if you quote McLuhan, academia doesn't recognize McLuhan. So Bruce Powell told the story of how McLuhan admitted that it's not wise to do a PhD in the late 70s around McLuhan themes. So Bruce went on to become an independent writer, put out a few books in the 80s, and then that's not going to earn enough for a livelihood. And I think he had a family. He was married and had some kids, so he got a gig at York University, which is the competing university to the University of Toronto in Toronto. And... he used his McLuhan knowledge to start teaching a course on Marshall McLuhan and Northrop Frye, the two main figures in literary criticism and gurus of university academia in literature. And McLuhan considered Frye a competitor, someone who represented the ideas that McLuhan disagreed with. So Bruce Powell taught a course in both of them, having been a student of both of them in the late 70s. So he eventually produced a book on that. And a couple of years ago, you can see it, Marsh McLuhan and Northrop Frye. When I was in Europe in July 2014, I went down to, where were they? Barcelona. Went to Barcelona and... hung out with Bruce and his new wife, who was Spanish, for a couple of days. And we did he did his annual symposium there, and they taped it, and it's made into a YouTube. So you can hear me commenting and asking questions. And I had some kind of institute open something. Opening time or something. He was a teacher lent out to the Barcelona school. So he spent a bit of time there in Barcelona in the summers for a few years. I don't know if that's going on right now. Now Bruce is a pretty good student of McLuhan, and we've had many conversations, and I don't know if he considers me influencing him, but he knew that I could understand his take on McLuhan. So he also puts out books of poetry. So he calls this a lyric response. So it's sort of like in the old-fashioned Gutenberg Galaxy poetry, poetic prose. So so I read this, and I decided, well, this is a pretty interesting description of what's going on now. He goes into Trump, and some figures like Bob Dylan, Patti Smith, and Leonard Cohen. like McLuhan, he'll mix, you know, highbrow art with lowbrow art. So, most people would find this pretty good description, but I'm going to use it to make the distinction that I've been making for the last 20 years, that I say the regular McLuhanites don't understand. So I guess we're okay on the sound. Keep the things, your environments quiet so we don't have too much noise. But I wrote this. I sent this to Bruce Powell and a couple other advanced McLuhanites, McLuhan scholars and whatever. So I say, I'm not going to say what I say about Bruce yet, but I say that he is, okay, so maybe we should read the first paragraph. He says, and this is dated May 28th, 2017, we're experiencing the charge in the global membrane. That's the title, the charge in the global membrane, notes on paradigm change. And Bruce says, by this I mean immersion in our electrified technological environment. All the puns in charge, so the word charge implied. Marsh McLuhan, says Bruce, was one of the first to recognize we're wired up, transformed, wholly inside borderless, transnational, instantaneous, entangling, speeding, here, there, everywhere now, states, in an always intensifying, mutable milieu. So he then says the global village became the global theater. The theater has become the global membrane. Now, when I read that, I said, ah, this opens up something that I've wanted to explain. So I have this chart. The global village occurred between 1840 and 1900. That would be under telegraph conditions. And that would be the apotheosis of our 3D scientifically described sciences, the hegemony, the dominating paradigm, for describing our physical body, and I call that the chemical body. And then we move into the solar theater, so we move from global village, but I bypass the global theater term that McLuhan used in the 60s and change it to the solar theater, because between 1910 and 1960, you have rocketry being advanced. I think Hubbard, what they call it, the Hubble telescope. Hubble was one of these early experimenters in rocketry in the 20s, and then the Nazis picked up on it, and you get the famous Wernher von Braun. Then he's hired by NASA after World War II, and then you have the landing on the moon. So this solar theater, engaging the satellites, Sputnik and that, in the late 50s, but I have it beginning, the effects preceding the causes, in 1910. So the solar theater is 1910 to 1960, and we would align the TV body with that phase. And there are more esoteric reasons why TV body is assigned to 1910 to 1960, partly because Baird Board, the inventor in Scotland and London, he came up with a TV in the 1920s, more of a mechanical TV than in the 1930s. Philo Farnsworth, a young American inventor, came up with electric or electronic television. So you have the building of the TV body, first part, first phase is the TV landscape, between 1910 and 1960. So then the third phase is universal membrane, and that's 1970 to 1990. And this is what Bruce is talking about, what I call universal membrane. He's calling it global membrane. He's gone from global village to global theater, and keeping the adjective global in there, he gets global membrane. So what we're going to read is life between 1970 and 1990. He is presenting global membrane as something happening now, but actually it refers to 40 years ago, the way the world was. And I'm calling that the astral body, the digital environment that comes in the 70s and 80s, is kind of an astral system for the chemical body. If you're listening to William Irwin Thompson or Ray Kurzweil, he calls it spiritual machines. But I don't see the astral body as the ultimate fate. Then you move into 1995 to 2010. That 15-year period is when we have HTTP protocols. Gets everybody on the internet in 95 and 96. And Netscape is an early company getting people on board. So you have the beginning of the chip body, and I add in the mystery body. That's 1995 to 2010. And I call that a mythic erogenous zone using McLuhan's definition of mythic. It doesn't mean it's false or a myth, a fake information or erroneous information. It means imploded comprehensive encapsulation. So the universal membrane starts to get, that's from 1970, 1990, it starts to be miniaturized, provoked in a new way, which makes a different environment, 1995 to 2010, which I'm calling the mythic erogenous zone. Then you come to the fifth phase in 2011 with the breaking up of the fragmenting of the chemical body, the astral body, the TV body, and the chip body, and the mystery body. So they start going on their own spiral ecstasies of expression. So from 2011 on, we have what I'm calling millennial, and I don't mean the generation, but it can be used for that. But I meant a phrase that McLuhan said in the 60s. He said, we're engaging in millennial ecstatics, meaning approaching the icon of 2000. So once past that, it gets democratized through mobile cell phones and all that people have today in their smartphones. And this allows the expression, the extreme expression and full of variety of our chemical body, astral body, chip body, TV body, and mystery body. Mystery body being the breakthrough of contact with ION, and ION being here to present thousands of hours of free information about the millennial ecstatics of five-bodied expressions. And that would be quadriphenia of the bodies plus. So the fifth phase, millennial ecstatics of five-bodied expressions, is the Baroque spirals indicated on my tiny note chart. So you have these Baroque spirals of each body. Largely these bodies are in after-image mode because we have arrived at a present that is very hard to categorize. I think my statement, my model, the five-bodied model, is way more useful to get a grip on the situation we're in than any of the categories before that. Mythic erogenous zone, universal membrane, solar theater, and global village. They don't meet the conditions we're actually in. So I lay these five phases out. Then I say, here's a short inventory of what Bruce Powell's rant fails to notice. Point one, he doesn't notice the Android meme, which is the spinning Baroque spirals of the different bodies interacting. The Android meme isn't talking to any of the bodies listed above. It's not addressing any particular body. Two, the second point, Bruce lays in a lot of dialectics. Any dialectic of emotion, sensibility, and cluster pulsing, especially of the Trump versus Justin Trudeau dialectic, Bruce Powell, any dialectic of emotion, sensibility, and cluster pulsing, for example, Trump versus Trudeau, that Bruce Powell offers, fails to note the squaring of those dialectics by the Android meme. I'll explain that later. Then he uses the letters ION a couple of times in an interesting way. So I say any use of the term ION, put that in quotes, by Powell, should be spelled I as the logo I from iPhone, it's a twisting I, and then capital O, capital N, which is how we spell ION. So Powell should use, whenever he uses ION, he should change the spelling. And I'm saying that he's influenced by ION somehow, I'm not sure. We'll see that when we get into what he writes. So I say Bruce can't get Iondom out of his mind. So he makes this ION reference point, which he may be defining the charge, the ionic charge. His mystical Gnostic pose knows Einem is the leading edge of the leading edge, but he can't fit it into his slow poetry. I call his lyric responses slow poetry. Rock would be, or hip-hop would be, fast poetry. Point four, I say Trump will prove victorious over the next 4 years and will be president as long as he wants. And I put president in quotes because he's not really, as we were saying earlier, a president in the normal sense. And then I say Obama having been the last president of the USA as predicted by Nostradamus. Then I make a cheeky statement. I go, oh, you didn't know Nostri announced such a fate? I made up this short version for Nostradamus and Nostri. Then point five, he talks about Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, and Patti Smith. And I say Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, and Patti Smith fell behind decades ago and stumbled into the occasional tiny retrieval when it suited the Android meme. This disheveled trio didn't ever have a clue why any of their replays happened. So that's a criticism of his appraisal of them, and we'll be going into detail when we read his whole tirade. So then I say, the only McLuhanite worth their salt was Donald Thiel, and that's because he was a Finnegan's Wake fundamentalist. He demanded a scrapping of McLuhan's simplification of Finnegan's Wake and a return to the A-signifying semiotics of Joyce's radio play, James Joyce's radio play, which is Finnegan's Wake. If we are, I say, if we are to have any hope of grasping the predicament of the Android meme, not our predicament, the Android meme that's in a predicament of communication breakdown, not humans if they choose to see through what's happening, because it is now, has been, the planet of the dead for the chemical body since the 1970s, and that's according to McLuhan, it being the planet of the dead for the chemical body since the 1970s. In terms of the five bodies drifting about, I say see Arthur Croker's 2012 book, Body Drift, as far as it goes. He defaults on the appropriate Finnegan's Wake quotation inventory. He never uses Finnegan's Wake. So Don Field does, and he can get close to what Croker's pointing out, but Don relates it back to Finnegan's Wake, which I advocate. Let's see. Now, Powell uses a lot of descriptive terms for our present situation, so I say any adjective Bruce Powell uses in the short article, although seemingly powerful and most apt to the up-to-date motivated somnambulist. So McLuhan used to talk about the regular successful person as a motivated somnambulist, unaware of the disservices they were creating by their successful lifestyle. So I say any adjective Bruce Powell uses, it may be considered good writing and therefore seeming powerful and most apt to the up-to-date motivated somnambulist situation. But I say his adjectives are a mere fallacy when it comes to the required precision. So I'm going to criticize what he wrote and posted because I think a better precision using the five-body model is handy for the citizen to use. Then I say, however, I'm not wasting my time typing much more than what I just typed, but if anyone wants more details from yours truly, call me when I analyze each sentence Powell wrote above on my next internet radio show, appropriately called The New Cochos. Then I end by saying, my speech is faster than the speed of thought. So that's the preamble to playing and talking about what he actually wrote. Now, if you look up my essay on the six schools of media ecology, the fourth school is what I call the diasporic school. And I wrote this up in 2002. I say those members of the diasporic school fall far short of offering any perceptive takes on our post-present. We're not in a present. We're in a post-present. The present becomes an art form. So I list the kind of media ecologists who worry about the fate of Gutenberg Galaxy books. They worry about old-fashioned education. They worry about a civilization not based on visual space. They know the attack on it. They've learned their stuff from McLuhan. They know it's almost a lost cause. But they themselves insist on writing books and sort of categorizing the Android meme in Gutenberg Galaxy terms, which is, in the end, a disservice. So I say in this note, Post, did I name them? They are Neil Postman, William Irwin Thompson, Derek DeKirchhoff, Robert Logan, Bruce Powell, and Paul Levinson. They're the most published people in the diasporic school, the fourth school of media ecology. So I say they rely too much on McLuhan's jargon while pursuing pointless goals. And then they say, for example, let's take the latest outburst from that forlorn crew. Bruce Powell thinks he's making a major announcement with the global membrane, a phrase first used by McLuhan in 1964. See McLuhan's 1964 Nation magazine review of William Burroughs' early 60s books, like The Naked Luncheon. I think the other one is A Ticket to Ride or A Ticket to Express or something. So you got these early Burroughs books that McLuhan reviews. And they have, it's like one of McLuhan's most advanced articles. And he uses the phrase the global membrane, suggesting that he had the phrase global membrane before the global theater. He had already been talking about the global village in the 50s. And then he talks about the global theater in the late 60s. But here in 1964, he's talking about the global membrane. So I choose to say that it's part of his imaging. It's his hidden ground. He does not use the term. He does not explain it. But he comments on global village, global theater matters from a global membrane perspective, partly the way Bruce lays it out, Bruce Powell. So I say... this global membrane situation, we went way past that decades ago. And I call this particular situation of the global membrane a salubrious slash gnarly. So it's salubrious means healthy. It had some services, this global membrane, but it also led in some awkwardnesses. So I'm calling it gnarly. So it's salubrious slash gnarly. So in this note, that I'm reading from, I then provide the five phases, the five bodies. Then I talk about the objections to Bruce Powell's article. And I say that I'm going to talk real fast to keep up with the speed of thought as we go through his what we can call prose poem, his description of the present, trying to describe the present. So before we go into it, does anybody have anything to say? Any ideas, Bert, about what we said so far?
No, Bob.
You want more meat?
Yes.
Did you read the note on the website? I think you did, because you
yes,
read everything. Yeah.
Yes. I actually read his article.
Okay, good.
Well.
Okay, what do you think of his article?
It's flowery mortar, very flowery. There was one section, I think really the end, it seems like he's been influenced by you or he's listened to you. I can't really recall. I didn't make a note, but I read something that gave me the impression that he has read or been influenced by you. I can't really tell you what it was, but I got the impression at the
impression.
At the end. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because he did listen to Ion a bit. I sent him some recording, so he may have been influenced by Ion. They had the McLuhan conference in 2011. Yeah, way back then. And it was way back then that he first heard Ion, I assume. He introduces his talk or says in the middle of it, according to Michael Edmonds, who attended it. He was on one of the panels in 2011, the 100th centenary of McLuhan's birth. And he says, I disagree, and he names off some people, and he names me. And I called him, but I couldn't get him to find out, well, what did I do that you're say that you disagree with? So I don't know what he thinks I said, but I take that as he listened to something that I said, or he listened to Ion. So I think that he is addressing, since he addressed me in the panel and said he disagreed with me, and most people there would say, well, who's this Bob Dobbs guy you're talking about? Why are you bringing him up? So if he's addressing me back then, he could be addressing me a little bit in this present article. So I saw the same thing you saw. That's why I jokingly said, if you're going to use I-O-N, you know, spell it correctly, use the italicized I and then capital O, capital N. That's how you write it. So so that's good. Anybody else have anything to say? Hey, Jason, did you notice anything in your McLuhan self, your McLuhan derivative self? Have you read this article?
No, I haven't. I haven't read the article, but I'm enjoying
it. Okay.
All
right.
So
you are you enjoying it in what way? Since you're not reading it, you're enjoying
well,
what I'm saying.
It's hard to tell what he wrote and what you're adding to it, but it's nice.
Okay. So you got your computer and you're looking at it.
No. I'm outside.
Well, how do you know about it?
Well, I remember.
Look, you're saying it's a nice article. Why are you saying that? You haven't seen it.
Because of what you've told me so far. I'm enjoying it, but it's too early. Oh, yeah, okay.
You don't have it. You're not looking at it.
No.
You don't have your computer. You're Luddite. You can't even fucking bring it up on your computer. No. Right? You're Luddite? Speaking of Luddite, Bruce Powell, you'll see this. It's maybe why he's slightly off. He basically, for the last 10 years, has been offline because he's been working on his PhD and his different books. He was under great pressure to get these things done, to be part of getting his gig at York University and his teaching role. And so he's been doing a bit of Ludditism. You can't completely, but he's been not engaging in the daily consuming of, I guess, emails, Facebook reality, and all that. I think he's even slow in answering his email. I think he had to monitor because he had students, but often I'd email him and he'd never respond. So, and he'd said to me once I got in touch with him by phone that he doesn't engage his computer much. So this is really a guy in the book quadrant, the Gutenberg-Gaussi quadrant, which is the fourth school of media ecology. They're the guys still, you know, hypnotized by being writers, hypnotized by good writers, hypnotized by the writing profession, hypnotized by its values as a medium generating civilization. So he shows that by not being digitally active. Okay, so anybody else? Nobody else? Gene, you don't have any comment?
Hi, Bob.
No,
it's Shania.
No, I'm in.
Sorry. You go, Gene.
I'm enjoying.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking forward to you getting to the article because I have questions about the article.
Okay. Sean, you were going to say something?
Yes, Bob. When I read your comments on the article, because you posted it a while back. And,
couple of days.
It made me.
Couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like forever. But it made me want to, and I actually did. I put all my old notes away because of it, and I thought I want to start on a complete fresh when you take this on, because it does bring a new, and you also say about it, not getting stuck in the whole McLuhan thing. We have to take it past that. So I've had so many notes on just McLuhan. So I thought, put it all away, and now you're handling it. So it's quite refreshing.
Okay, so yeah, you're saying that you put away your McLuhan quotes or McLuhan notes because I'm implying something new through Bruce Powell, and that's what you're going to take notes on as we go through this.
Yes. Yes, and it's mainly in your the bit you posted about the article.
Yeah.
Were you
the five
were you, yes, because that's like a new thing for me, so I want to start from there. So obviously
right.
Not let the old things. Yeah.
Okay, did you read his article?
Yes, but once again, because I haven't had your take on it, it does, I don't really get, even with your things, the global membrane, all those things, I don't fully grasp that yet. So I'm
right.
hoping this
So
will,
you couldn't grasp yeah. him. Do you feel you understand McLuhan? Rudimentary McLuhan, Global Village, Global Theater?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
the way you
describing...
change the words as well to change it from everything, not just global, to like
yeah.
solar, yeah.
And then mythic. Okay,
and the universal,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So let's start reading it, and I've given the preparation. So he's talking about the charge in the global membrane. And we know global membrane is 1970 to 1990 under lockdown Bob Rule conditions. So let's see what he makes of the global membrane. So he says, we're experiencing the charge, the excitement, you know, all the different meanings of the word charge. We're experiencing the charge in the global membrane. By this I mean immersion in our electrified technological environment. Now, the electrification, to use the word electrified, you could have a McLuhan school debate about, well, it's all since 1850 electricity right up to today, and that's the ground. Or you can take the different kinds of media as figures, and you go from the electric to the electronic to the digital. So some people would not like to use the phrase electrified because it's too old-fashioned. So they'll use electronic and digitized. Digital. McLuhan used to oscillate between electric and electronic. So I see Bruce, either he could justify saying electrified. De Kirchhoff mentioned, in the same school, Derek De Kirchhoff emphasizes electricity. So maybe Bruce is following in the De Kirchhoff point that it's all just electrified, and it's fancy to talk about electronic and digital. I find it a little too simple. So he says, by this I mean immersion in our electrified technological environment. All the puns in charge, meaning in the word charge, but also they're in charge. Puns are in charge in the headline language. All the puns in charge implied. So he's saying, I'm meaning many levels here. Then he says, Marshall McLuhan was one of the first to recognize we're wired up. Now we're also wireless. McLuhan wouldn't use the phrase wired up because there are no connections in the wireless situation we've been in since, say, the 1920s. Wired up implies connecting. But if you're consciously showing the wired and then that's connected and the wireless, the non-connected, the more of the resonating, and you know they're both oscillating back and forth, and that's the description of a tactile situation, both and. So it's both wired up and wireless plus. Bruce may mean that in all these words he lists. He says we're wired up, we're transformed, we're wholly inside and borderless, but no and, just wholly inside, meaning completely inside, borderless, transnational, instantaneous, entangling, speeding, here, there, everywhere now, states. So we're in these different states.